As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I'm so brave. I think you would agree to that, right, Sue?
What?
Probably the bravest person, at least in the studio. I don't know. I just like that one. I like saying that because I don't even know if it's true. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Scott Jennings on the horn with plenty to talk about. So without further ado, how are you, Mr. Jennings? By the way, thank you for the birthday greetings last week, even though I'm ignoring birthdays from now on.
The ageless wonder, Mark Reardon. Good to be with you, my friend.
So this is something that just came out that I don't know if you've seen yet. Jennifer Griffin at Fox News. Have you seen this about Pete Hegseth?
I have not.
Okay, so I just saw this right before I welcome you to the show. It says, and Jennifer Griffin's usually pretty buttoned up over there at Fox News Channel. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has threatened polygraphs and chastised top military officers and staffers as he seeks to quiet a storm he helped create. And it says, I'll hook you up to a blanking polygraph, Hegseth shouted at Admiral Grady, then acting chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Two people familiar with the exchange said he demanded proof that Grady hadn't leaked news of the March 21st briefing. So that's kind of new this afternoon. I don't know where that's going to take us, but it's interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of this Hegseth stuff, I feel like some of it's overblown. I also feel like there are people in and around his office, candidly, who are talking to the press out of school. And I do think he has a point. I would never advise anyone to be paranoid, but if you're picking up the paper every day and it's like sources in the secretary's office say this, that, and the other, I mean, it would be natural to look around and say, who's leaking against me here? So he really needs to settle down the office. I gave him some PR advice on CNN the other night, which is you don't need to do any more media interviews right now. You need to go to the office and show them you can do the job. That's the best way to calm the storm. So I hope we get settled down over there. It's, after all, the most important cabinet job.
I agree. You know, this is coming kind of on the heels of a great conversation I had a couple of hours ago with Selena Zito, who did interview Pete Hegseth earlier in the week. But I think some of this is overblown. The one reason I gave that a little attention is because it was Jen Griffin, and she, you know, her reporting is pretty solid. So we'll have to see. But you're not wrong that there's a lot of people that are rooting for his, you know, failure.
Well, that's the other thing about this. He was the cabinet secretary the people who really hate Donald Trump most wanted to defeat. And so the campaign against him that started during his nomination process has never really stopped, and it will never stop. And I think what he's going to have to realize is this storm is going to be brewing the entire time he has this job, and you can't be in total freak-out mode 24 hours a day. You have to internalize it. You have to understand it. And I think the lesson is the best way to defeat it is just do a bang-up job. That's what he's got to do. And I'm really pulling for him, and I think everybody should be pulling for him to do a good job. Once people get in office and get appointed to things, I mean, this is our Defense Department. This is our military. We want them to succeed. So I'm rooting for him, and I hope things get under control.
Well, let's talk, Scott, about the Maryland father, Abrego Garcia, because this is rather stunning, and I've watched a lot of your exchanges on CNN. There's a lot of mystery to me with the way that the Democrats are responding to this. But where are we with Abrego Garcia right now? Are there more Democrats flooding down to El Salvador to try to bring him back?
Yeah, well, there's no mystery to me because this is what they do. They lie to the American people about the facts and the circumstances of things that are going on in the news. I mean, we heard for weeks this was some mild-mannered American father. I even heard Senator Chris Van Hollen call him, quote, an American on one of his interviews.
Right.
This man is not an American.
Right.
He's a Salvadoran national who's been living in the United States illegally for 14 years. How much grace period do you get? And they tried to portray him like we snatched some, you know, mild-mannered father up off the street. That's not what happened. He broke our laws. It's clear. It is clear from the evidence he was involved in some kind of gang activity and human trafficking, possibly. He got pulled over in Tennessee driving the car of his, quote, boss, who'd already been convicted of smuggling people into the country. I mean, it's obvious what we're dealing with.
Well, hang on
a
second.
And the hill they want to die on is let's bring him back. And I just think the American people know it's crazy.
Come on, man. I saw a picture today of an MS-13 tattoo on Abrego Garcia's fingers. And I don't know about you, but I always put gang tattoos on my fingers when I'm not in a gang. I think everyone does that, Jennings. You're being unfair here.
I know. I was in the beginning, I really wanted Trump to put out the evidence on this guy. And I was like, you know, I can show your card, show your card. And they waited and they waited. And I think they were proven right, because what they did is they gave all these Democrats enough rope. And then they unspooled the evidence. Here's the court stuff. Here's the tattoos on the fingers. Here's the, you know, the pullover information from when he got pulled over in Tennessee. So now all these Democrats have turned this guy into a cause celeb. They're all up on this hill. And now I guess they have no choice but to die on the hill, which is exactly what they're going to do. There's not a brighter line in American politics. One party's trying to deport foreign national terrorists, and the other party's trying to bring them back. And the American people full know well which is which.
Listen to Tim Walz.
Now, in this land of the free and home of the brave, we have university students being swept up, shoved into unmarked vans, and fathers being tossed into Salvadorian gulags without a hint of due process. So I want to be real clear about this. If you say you love freedom, but you don't believe freedom is for everybody, then the thing you love isn't freedom, it's privilege.
Man, thank God that guy is not in the White House. Oh, my God.
There is not a bigger buffoon in American politics than this friggin' guy. We dodged a major bullet, and guess what? This is the kind of lying that I'm talking about. I mean, to hear Tim Walz tell it, they're sweeping up Americans. The people on campuses are here. They're on student visas. It's a privilege to be here, not a right. And by the way, they're fomenting anti-American and anti-Western civilization sentiment. They're leading these protests on campus. They're terrorizing the Jewish students. That's why they're being sent back to where they came from. And as it relates to illegal aliens, what Tim Walz is saying is that you have to believe in the freedom of every person in this world to cross our borders illegally and to do God knows what while they're here and to be violent and so on and so forth, and you just have to take it. That's the message of the Democratic Party to the American people. People are going to come here, they're going to be bad, and you just have to deal with it. That's the message of Tim Walz, the buffoon. That's what he's saying to you. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. It's unbelievable. Now, you had an interesting, I played this audio yesterday, I think it was, you had an interesting discussion on one of the panels the other night with Jeff Jarvis, who's a professor of journalism. And the discussion focused on why there is no trust in the media. And I was quite amazed by what his answer was and what some of the panel seemed to agree with. You did set them straight, Jennings, but explain what happened there.
Well, we were discussing the CBS news story. I guess the executive producer of 60 Minutes had decided to quit because he didn't have any more journalistic independence or whatever.
It devolved into this story
about why trust in the media has fallen. And it seemed to Jeff Jarvis that it had fallen because, quote, the right wing was attacking it. And Abby, you know, my friend who hosts the show, was like, well, it's under, you know, the rhetoric from you and from Trump. That's what's destroying the media. And, of course, I gave him the what for, which is the media has destroyed itself, because instead of facts and just covering the news, what we get are narratives, spin, misleading information. And the Abrego Garcia case is
perfect example.
Example number one.
Yep,
this is not suburban American father who's, you know, accidentally. This is MS-13 foreign national. But if you just looked at the news coverage, we've done it at CNN. Maryland father, Maryland father, Maryland father, hundreds of times. And so you want to know why the American people don't trust what they're hearing? because you can't trust what you're hearing. And people see through it, and now they have alternative sources. Jeff Jarvis called them freaks. He said conservative alternative media, it's a bunch of freaks. He called it a freak show. And I just said, I don't think they're freaks. I think they're serving a need. People are desperate. They're starved for information, but they want information they can trust. There's a way to fix this, Mark, and it's just by making a better product. That's what I said.
Well, you know, I've offered, because I may hang with more lefties, although you hang with all those lefties like Axelrod, so I probably don't. But look, I have a lot of liberal friends, right? And we try to avoid, some of these people I try to avoid, you know, politics with. But I do want to talk about the media with them, and I don't think they want to hear it. I've used one thing as an example the last, you know, year or so, and that's what Yuri Berliner wrote about NPR. I said, hey, don't take it from me. Listen to this guy who was inside NPR for all these years. Now, and I sent you a link to this the other day, David Zweig's book, Abundance of Caution. This guy's from The Atlantic. He's no conservative. There is no better takedown of the issues that the American media have than that book, when he talks about how many lies were spread and how the media didn't dig. They didn't ask the questions. They assumed all of this was true from Dr. Fauci. It's outrageous. And I sent that to, I have a new relationship, Scott, with the dean of my alma mater, the University of Missouri, David Kirpius. And I sent it to David and I said, look, I think that every young budding journalist should read this book. They should know what happened. They should know how people were dishonest with the American people. They continue to be dishonest with the American people, but that's because of Trump. But these lessons don't ever seem to be learned.
Well, I think one core issue, and you could talk about this for hours, is what is the purpose of journalism and who is going into journalism right now and for what purpose? And I think people have decided that journalism is no longer about giving out information. Journalism is a tool and a bridge to activism. And so, yeah. I mean, look, there's been the Pointer, I think it was Pointer or Syracuse, somebody did a study on who works in the media. It's like 90% Democrats, 1% Republicans, and 9% something else. You do the math on that. And I think what you have is an industry that's effectively been captured by and is run by and inhabited by a bunch of people who are like, well, the ends justify the means. I have this job, and it's my moral obligation to use this job to affect the kind of change in policy or in society that I want to see. And if it's 90% inhabited by leftists, you can imagine what comes next. And it's unfortunate, because the American people want a free press that is trusted and fair and balanced. They want it. They need it. They're starved for it. And yet the industry has been captured by people who use it for activism and not journalism. There's a way out of this, and it's very simple, and everybody knows the answer, but nobody wants to do anything about it. And until they do, it's going to continue to wither on the vine.
Scott Jennings is back with us. Scott and I are personal friends. For people who don't know, we kind of go back. We met first at the Kentucky Derby, and I asked our mutual friend Joe Arnold, with Derby 151 coming up a week from Saturday, will Scott Jennings be with the regular folks, the peasants, or will he be up on Millionaire's Row this year because he's such a big celebrity?
You know what? Let me tell you something. There is a chance I'm going to miss it. I've got some personal travel coming up. Let me tell you what's happening to Scott right now. I'm getting booked to give all kinds of speeches.
I know you
are. I was in Orlando last night. I do this for free, by the way. But I was in Orlando last night and had a huge crowd, great speech at this group of state financial officers. Anyway, I'm just getting, like, when I'm not on CNN, you can bet I'm making a speech somewhere, and I'm a little worried about Derby weekend. I've got a couple of speeches that may impede me from going. So I may miss it, but I wouldn't miss it on TV for the world. It's one of the best things we do here in Kentucky.
Well, sadly, I believe I might be asleep because I'm going to be in Greece on Derby Day. So that already saves me hundreds of dollars from my wagering. I'm going to send a little money with a friend. But I do love, as you know, the Kentucky Derby. Let's talk about, oh my God, dude, they've only won two games.
Bring it up. Okay. Don't bring it up. Don't do it. I mean, look, I've done all the analysis, and my conclusion is we suck. We literally suck. We suck. And I was so optimistic. We were scoring runs. It was like, hey, this team. We suck.
I know.
And Ollie told us, this is it. This is what we got. There's nothing. There are no reinforcements. There's nothing to do except just wallow in the misery of knowing that we're going to suck for the rest of the year. And I hate it, as you know, because I love this team. I love the game. And I want to come to St. Louis. But, Mike, I almost took my whole family to New York for Easter weekend. At the last minute, I was like, yeah, let's not do it. And then they got swept. And I've never been more glad to have missed a baseball game than that series. I mean, we suck.
Yeah,
we suck.
And you know, Scott, look, you know this because we talk about this, but the crowds have been just
terrible.
We haven't seen the crowds like this since the 1970s, really.
It breaks my heart. It's like heartbreaking. This is a proud franchise with a great fan base, We love the game. We know the game. We love the team. We love the tradition. And I think they've, like, reached their breaking point. And, I can't say as I blame. I mean, look, the Cardinals are going to be in Cincinnati coming up. And I was looking at my schedule, and I was like, well, yeah, I usually try to get up there because I'm close.
Right. No, I know.
And I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to go back to work. I'll listen to it on the radio.
Okay, but you're going to get here at some point this summer, because I'm not going to allow that to not happen. And we're going to get one of those speeches and get a bunch of 97.1 FM Talk listeners together, and maybe some protesters too. We'll get some signs out there to draw attention to it. How about that?
I love it. Just as long as there's more supporters. I'm not a great fighter. Like I need, like, if we get more protesters than supporters, we could be in trouble.
I think we'll be in good shape. I think we'll have supporters. All right, hey Jennings, thank you so much.
Thanks for
all right. We'll see you. He is busy. You know, he puts all this stuff on social. I see the Instagram posts, and I'm a little concerned that he said he's doing some of that for free. He's going to do it for free for me. Okay, let's make it clear that I ain't paying him anything to come here and do this. But I did say to him, and he will do it. I said, look, we got to do one of these in St. Louis when you come in for a Cardinals game. Two problems with that. One, as you indicated, the team kind of sucks. And then his travel schedule is insane
right now.
It
sounds like it.
But he's keeping him straight on the CNN set, and he's bringing the fire, which we love all the time from Scott Jennings. We go way back. You heard him here first before you saw him blow up into a national figure. I love Cassie Smedley, too, who writes and is a pundit on politics, and she's going to join us next. We also have an audio cut of the day, and I played some of this at the beginning of the show from John Gruden, former head football coach.
So great.
But he talks about the St. Louis Blues because the Blues sent him a package. That's coming up too.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, if you missed the beginning of the show, I have an awesome audio cut of the day coming up here before the end of the hour. It focuses on the Blues, and it features, of all people, John Gruden. But it is really, really good, and I'm guessing that Jim Montgomery is showing that to his team either right now or he will before the puck drop tonight at 8:30. A little bit of a late game, unfortunately, but a lot of excitement as the Blues try to climb back into this series with the Winnipeg Jets. Right now, Cassie Smedley is back with us from her home in the Washington, D.C. area. She's been a guest many times before. She's also the VP of COIN, which is the first credit card for conservatives, former RNC press secretary, great pundit on politics. Cassie, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Great to be back with you. I am well. It's finally feeling like spring out here, so that's always good for the soul.
Well, let me just start with something personal. I noticed a new name on your Twitter handle. Is this true or false?
Well, yes, my husband of 4 years is very grateful that I'm finally using my married name. So yes, I've been married for a while, but Cassie Smedley is just professionally, but you know, when you introduce a couple kids into the mix, it's easier with daycare pickup and all of that.
I get it. I just didn't know. I thought maybe you were just been married. So that's you're just using the name, but that makes perfect sense. How old are the kids? How old are your kids?
They are 3 and 1. So we are in prime toddler phase, but it's fun.
So I have, you ready for this? I have 28, I've got 25, and I've got 10. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that by that point, the 10-year-old is just, I mean, has so many people to take care of him probably, right?
It's a she. You just misgendered her. Thank you, Cassie. Oh, this interview's
sorry.
Over. Are you kidding me? I will not accept that kind of treatment here on my show. No, it's a lot of fun. She really was, though. She was my surprise baby. I'll tell you a little, I'm sure the audience is getting sick of me telling them that I'm going overseas this weekend. But I'm going to Greece on Sunday with my wife. And truth be told, we were supposed to take that trip 10 years ago. And then my daughter came along in a surprise fashion. We had to cancel that. So this trip's been 10 years in the making. So we're very excited.
Oh, wow. Enjoy. I hear there are beautiful beaches and even some ruins there that people seem to really like.
A lot of history. All right, let's talk about some things happening in this country right now. And let me kind of start with Abrego Garcia and just get your thoughts on this. I just had Scott Jennings on, and we were talking about this. I'm shocked that the Democrats are kind of trying to die on this hill. There's this polling out there that seems to indicate that President Trump is underwater on the immigration issue. I simply don't believe that, and I don't believe it because I don't think the poll questions are fair. Any thoughts on that?
Yes. Yeah, I'd agree with you, because on the whole, here you have yet again an 80-20 issue. The vast majority of Americans, truly regardless of traditional party ID, think that it is a good thing to get the bad guys who are here in our country illegally out of our country. And what was once, I will concede that I think this could have been wrapped up in one news day. And yet it has perpetuated because of there was, you know, conflicting comments initially,
right,
from the various agencies in the admin. But then the Democrats, never to let a crisis go to waste, now have dug themselves in a hole on this issue. They are once again siding with the 20% against the 80%. And I think that really is going to be the big takeaway of this. When you see the senator going down to visit this guy in El Salvador and not say anything about the murdered mom, one of his constituents up here in Maryland as well.
Oh, yeah.
That is a problem. That is the exact reason why they lost the election last year. That's the exact reason why President Trump, frankly, has quite a bit of grace amongst Americans to do what he is doing, because he understands these things in a pragmatic way that makes sense to the rest of us, in a way that Democrats right now just keep digging themselves in holes.
Well, some of this is just common sense, and we can get to the Maryland mm-hmm. Supreme Court case as well. But, you know, I'm just trying to see in what world someone could be presented. Now, this is why I think the polling is false. Someone can be mm-hmm. presented just even the facts of this case, because if you ask people, should people who come here illegally be deported? Raise your hand. Everybody raise their hand, except for a few progressives out there, right? So that's like a 90-10 issue. Should a wrongly deported Maryland father be returned? Well, gosh, maybe he should be, because that's the poll mm-hmm. question. How about, should a Maryland father who's also a gang member and has gang tattoos on his fingers? I don't know about you, Cassie, but I've always put gang tattoos on my fingers when I'm not in a gang. You know, it's something, I think everybody does that, right? So In that sense, I can't understand how a Democrat or anybody really could look at that situation. I get the due process claim, right? Okay, but that's not why they're doing this. Are you kidding me? Because mm-hmm. Laura Ingraham had someone on the other night and pressed, or one of the lawmakers who went down there. And let's say that he comes back, right? And let's say he's deported, because he will be. You think they're going to cheer that on, or are they going to complain about it, right? It's not due process. They want the guy here, and they're only upset about this because it's Donald J. Trump.
That's exactly right. And to that exact point, what happens if and when he comes back? He just gets deported to a different country. I mean, that's the hiccup on the paperwork here, is whether or not he can go back to El Salvador. But make no mistake, there is no place for him here in the United States. That's not part of this equation. And again, just to give some more color on what the local news is about here, about 2 weeks ago now, they arrested one of the ringleaders of MS-13. Over here in a prominent Virginia suburb, and or a county that's a suburb of D.C. So this is something on the local news up here that I think locally, and to your point about these poll questions, that's really on the minds of folks right now, of saying, I take your point on the paperwork issue, but make no mistake, I'm not interested in people being here in our country illegally, not going through the proper process. You want to talk about due process.
Right.
But also people who are illegal criminals being in our country, because that is a threat to my community and, more personally, my family. And I'm not interested in that at all. And so that's where, again, to your point about these poll questions, I think this still remains an 80-20 issue, of which the Democrats are on the wrong side of.
Yeah, and there is a part of me that, I said this a week ago, that wishes, let's say we send J.D. Vance down there, right? Give Abrego another, you know, margarita that Chris Van Hollen says they didn't sip. You know, give him a little caviar, fly him back, put him in front of the judge, ship his ass back, right? And then see what the reaction is like from the Democrats. There you go. Your due process. Now, their claim right now is, well, why wouldn't you do that? If you're so afraid of doing that, why wouldn't you do that? Well, I think they're going to stand by, you know, their position on this right now. But I'm a little surprised that this thing is lingering as long as it is.
Mm-hmm. I think just because it's given the Democrats a little bit of a carrot or a stick to go after, because they're in disarray. They can't come together on anything else. They can't find anything that can stick to Donald Trump. They can't find anything that can stick to the Congress. They don't have a leader. They are running rudderless. But leave it to the Democrats to coalesce around illegal immigration and an illegal immigrant, which at its core, that's what we're talking about. And then add on top of that, that there is suspected ties verified by two courts, suspected ties to a criminal gang. And then he was deported. And now it's to the point of it's an issue with El Salvador government. But it's just so comical is not the right word.
But it is
comical.
It is, though.
They continue to get this wrong.
I know. Cassie Smedley is here. She's the VP of COIN, which is the first credit card for conservatives. Let me ask you about the Maryland situation. You write a lot about education, something you're passionate about. I'll start with this question. Have you read, or at least are you familiar with David Zweig's new book, which is called Abundance of Caution?
I'm not, but so, it sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it is, because it focuses, look, he's been at the Atlantic, but this guy focuses on all the things that we did wrong, all the lies that the media told during this period, and he focuses on this learning loss, which was devastating for these kids. Mm-hmm. So I've been bringing this up a lot because I'm a fan of what he is writing about. I haven't read the whole book right now, but if you juxtapose that with a school district in Maryland that thinks it's uber important to get 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds educated about a pride parade, and that's their priority, and that's another hill that they're going to die on, when even Elena Kagan seems pretty willing to maybe jump over to the other side, that's another one of those things where you look at it and you're thinking, how in the world can anyone be opposed to this particular, you know, challenge, if you will, to keep this stuff out of the hands of these little kids?
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we saw that in this area, but of course in 2021 with Glenn Youngkin, this is how he really got to the governor's mansion, is because, if you recall, these school board meetings where there was this emphasis on keeping secrets from parents, administrators and teachers keeping secrets from parents, especially with regard to boys and girls, locker rooms and the like. And to our conversation earlier, why I believe this is still an 80-20 issue is because parents at this point, I think the majority are saying, not only is this ridiculous, but also, have you seen our national score, our national report card? We're not doing well. We're not treating our teaching our kids the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and setting them up to be a productive workforce for the future. So get rid of all of this extra junk that you're trying to teach them, and let's just focus on a core curriculum, which I think is what most parents think they're sending their kids to school to get. And when they find out, I mean, a horrible silver lining of COVID was that we saw on the Zoom school, the e-learning, what was actually being taught and talked about in our kids' classrooms. And that really opened parents' eyes and ears to wanting something different. And I think, again, the more Democrats die on this hill, the more they will continue to lose elections, because most parents, even those who might traditionally say that they voted Democrat, are saying, well, I can't vote for a party that continues to put this ahead of making sure that my kid can read at grade level.
One of the things that happened yesterday was, you know, there's now the Education Department, Linda McMahon, and the White House saying, look, we're gonna start, you know, having these kids pay back these student loans again, too.
Mm-hmm. And again, they good. Bravo. Some of them haven't had to pay for 5 years. And the student loan thing, it's so funny because, of course, look in the reverse. Joe Biden defying the Supreme Court and going ahead and, quote unquote, forgiving the student loans. Of course, we know who really paid for those, the taxpayers. But that didn't get them the youth vote last election. More of them switched over to Donald Trump. But also, these, again, are loans that are being knowingly taken out, and that these students, these young people, they knew at some point that there was an obligation to pay them back. This idea that the federal government is going to take care of them for you is not only preposterous, but what a slap in the face to kids who made a different decision, said, I'm going to go to a trade school, or I'm going to forego college and go out and get a job because that's what I can afford. And then they're supposed to go and pay for the student loans of other kids who have just decided that they'd rather take the break on them. That, again, is one of these 80-20 issues that Democrats are sitting on the wrong side of. And I think you saw that play out in the election last November with this kind of unfairness piece of it. But, you know, bravo for them to restart them. I think Linda McMahon's doing, I love the approach she's taking the Department of Education. It's real WWE crackdown, if you ask me. But,
absolutely.
But it's time and we need it.
Absolutely. All right, Cassie. Well, thanks for catching up with me here on 97.1 FM Talk. How's COIN doing?
Hey, we're doing great. We got a wait list, but we would encourage everyone to get on it, COIGN.com. If you want to align more of your values with your spending, so many of the topics we just talked about are things that COIN is championing and working with some awesome charity partners who are doing really good work to help create and foster the America that we know and love. We'd love to have you as part of our community, COIGN.com. And we have some really exciting things coming
up. Awesome. Are the cherry blossoms blooming already?
They are past peak, but it is tulip season. So
past peak already.
On your calendar,
I guess I missed that.
But we've got some good stuff.
I've only been out there one time when you know they were in full bloom, and that was kind of fun to see for sure.
It is very cool to see if you can catch it just right. And it was a good season this year, but it's quick.
Yeah, it is. All right, Cassie, thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark. Safe travels to Greece.
Appreciate it. Cassie Smedley, who's always a great guest. We had audio cut of the day coming up. I don't often play the same band two different times on Bumper Music, making an exception for the Mavericks and Rahm Malo because they're in St. Louis tonight at the Family Arena, and you should go see them because they're an amazing, amazing band, one of the best you'll ever see, and they're the warm-up band tonight, which is kind of weird for me, but I love the Mavericks, and I had to close. They were opening up for Dwight Yoakam, and I'm sure that Dwight Yoakam is going to be really good. I've never seen Dwight in concert, but I'd have a hard time believing that his show and his set will be better than the Mavericks. Having seen the Mavericks about a dozen times, I'm going to give it to the Mavericks, and Sue and I share that love and passion for that band. So I have to share this just because, and I do have a great audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes. This is kind of an interesting story in a sad way. So Lewis Reed, when he was the president of the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis. Lewis and I were friends. We had a good relationship. He, of course, is one of the many, many Reardon Roundtable participants that went to federal prison. Jeff Smith among them. Lewis, the list goes on. Jeffrey Boyd, right? We're very proud of our record in sending felons to the big house that have appeared on my show. But I bring Lewis up because he was always talking about this program. I gave it a fair amount of attention called Cure Violence, which was a violence prevention program that was brought to St. Louis. And here's the story from our local paper here today. A federal judge sentenced a former St. Louis anti-violence worker to more than 11 years in prison for his role in a murder for hire. Jerome Mujah Williams was working for the St. Louis branch of Cure Violence in 2022 when he helped a major multi-state drug distributor coordinate the killing of Titus Armstead, who was suspected of stealing from one of the dealer's stash houses. So this dude flipped on one of the other guys. He agreed to testify for a deal and said in court, I take full responsibility. He says he felt a deep sense of remorse, guilt, and sorrow. But I guess he's helping this guy a couple of years ago. Ray Bradley is his name. He's a coke and weed dealer. And Bradley calls Williams and says someone had robbed one of his houses in New Jersey. Bradley suspected his cousin was involved. So he said he needed to kill his cousin. Seems like family doesn't matter there. And Williams, the dude here in St. Louis, said, well, come here. You know, hey, we're crime-ridden. We're the murder capital. Come here. We'll do it here. Williams enlisted his friend Morian Lindsay to carry out the hit. So Armstrong, the cousin, flies to St. Louis on April 21st. Lindsay picks him up. Lindsay then takes him to Penrose Park, and he shoots him in the head, and he's dead. And Williams pleaded guilty to destroying evidence. He testified against Lindsay in the trial, and Lindsay was convicted of carrying out the murder for hire. I'm going to say 11 years in prison is probably a pretty good deal here for a guy that helped this murder. He could have been sentenced to a lot longer, but again, he flipped. He cut the deal. But isn't that just so St. Louis, that the guy that was helping run Cure Violence was organizing a hit behind the scenes? Sue's just slapping her head. It's like face slap, right? Face slap over and over. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, unfortunately, and it's very sad. But let's do this on a much brighter and positive note today.
Stand by. Playback ready. already. Initiating
sequence. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Oh, I almost forgot something, though, and I'm going to use this because, Sue, you love to travel. I'm doing some travel. I have a great travel location. You know, this is something I got to talk to Mike Kenny about this, my travel guide who's taking my group to Greece. We leave this Sunday. I always have things on my bucket list, right? Do you have what travel destinations on your bucket list?
I would say I would like to bike in Croatia, bicycle in Croatia. I would like to go to Greece, so I'm happy that you are going.
I want to go to
Switzerland.
Croatia, too, though. That's
Croatia's
on my list.
Croatia is supposed to be gorgeous.
Yes, but, you know, Sue, I want you to think of El Salvador. I really do.
Welcome to El Salvador, home to breathtaking sunsets, world-class surf breaks, and gangbanger Kilmer Abrego Garcia.
I think that's my next listener trip. I'm going to talk to Mike this weekend. We're going to take listeners to El Salvador and that prison. It's going to be amazing. All right. Here's what is amazing, and this is on my X page, formerly Twitter. I couldn't resist. John Gruden, former NFL coach, former college coach, too, he is doing work for Barstool Sports, and Ethan was telling me about this earlier. He's got this kind of gig, fun bit, where people send him boxes of their gear from a particular school or franchise. It might not be a school. It could be, for example, today when he started off this rant about the St. Louis Blues, he was wearing a Bengals jersey, but he had this big box in front of him, and he took his box cutter and he opened it up and he started pulling things out and just doing his John Gruden type of thing.
Well, I may not know that much about hockey. I admit that, but I do know a big game when a big game is here. And tonight there's a big game in St. Louis. And for this, I'm going to use my switchblade knife.
Here it goes.
You see, the St. Louis Blues sent me a box. And the St. Louis Blues are down 2-0 to the Winnipeg Jets. And I'm concerned about that, but I'm excited because down 2-0 gives you a chance to do something unbelievable. And when you got a head coach like Jim Montgomery, I guarantee you, he's telling his team right now, hey, Winnipeg's got dreams of winning the Stanley Cup. Winnipeg this, Winnipeg has dreams of that. Hey, we're the freaking nightmare.
Yeah.
The St. Louis Blues. We're at home tonight. We're back at Enterprise Center in front of our fans. And we're going to hit these guys into the glass, onto the ice. And we're going to out-hit them. And when we substitute, we're going to get faster.
So the audio is great. That's why it's audio cut of the day. But the video might be even better. He's just having a blast here.
I love the St. Louis Blues. You know why? They got a guy on their team at forward, Brett Hull. He's been kicking ass since ass was kicked. You know who their goalie is? Jordan Binnington. Look at this. Jordan Binnington. It's autographed. St. Louis. There's no town like St. Louis. I coached at Southeast Missouri State in Cape Girardeau. So if you're from Cape Girardeau, get down the road.
Look at that shout out.
Tonight. Most of all, I'd like to thank Jordan Binnington for the autographed jersey. It's going to go up on my wall. You know, he's already won a Stanley Cup. He knows what it takes. And since he's one of the great goalies to go, I'm going to put him up with my defense, my favorite defensive players. I'm going to put Binnington up here.
So he's walking down a hallway where he has all these legends jerseys, right? Listen to the names here.
Right under freaking Lawrence Taylor, Warren Sapp, Mean Joe Green, and Deacon Jones. That's where you're going. Shut him out, Jordan. Shut him out, baby. Let's go, Blues. Oh, the game's not till tonight. I got to save my voice.
Yeah, let's go, Blues. That was so fun. And I know you cannot tell me that I'm sure a lot of the Blues got wind of that, you know, on social this morning with Barstool Sports blasting that out. But I would think it would be appropriate to have Jim Montgomery play that in the locker room for those guys before this game. And that would be a lot of fun. So, look, we got to get back into it tonight. They have not lost a home game, I guess, in 12 games. We were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Oh, this is so exciting.
So let's hope they can give us a little hope here, especially when baseball does not give us as much hope, you know, moving forward. But this has been a great postseason in the first series for all of these teams, I think, in the NHL. And I just think that, you know, evening up this series would make it kind of interesting.
It would.
Right?
Ethan, what time's the game tonight?
It's 8:30 tonight. Ethan's going over there.
Late.
Ethan Hannaford covers some of this, and he's going to head over and talk to the team afterwards. We'll have his report tomorrow. Sue, the Mavericks are tonight at the Family Arena, and I want you to go see them because they're awesome. We'll talk tomorrow at 3 during the roundtable. And you know what? We should probably go out with this year over the Mavericks. Here we go.
We're the freaking nightmare.
There you go. Have a great night.
Two, three.
3, 4.
Get more at 971talk.com.